God on the move in your life. Go with me if you will. Esther chapter 8, verse number 14. I thought we'd get done with Esther tonight. We probably won't, but we'll jump in. We'll go till 8 o'clock. Are you guys okay with that? We actually go 7:58 because Brother Celon's got to speak to you. Verse number 14 of Esther chapter 8 says, So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. What decree? Remember what the decree said. The Jews can defend themselves. They can gather together like an army, and if you come after them, they're going to take you down. That was a good decree, and it went out. The Bible says in one verse, they sent them out by dromedaries. I had to look that out. You know what a dromedary is? It's a camel with one hump. That's a broke camel. I don't know, but at any rate, maybe that's a fast camel. Who knows? Where would you ride, by the way? Where would you ride? I don't know. That's a whole other story. Verse 15, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. You talk about God working a trial for good. Haman tried to kill this guy, but God has given him a position of power to help the Jews. Why would God give him a position of power to help the Jews? God loves the Jews. God loves his people. Of course, he will elevate people from time to time. And Mordecai, like Joseph in the Bible, was wise. He stepped into the reversal of God. Joseph could see that God was using all of these trials to elevate him once he got there. And he stepped fully into the plan to save his family. And here, Mordecai is stepping into that plan just beautifully. God has worked on his life. And as a matter of fact, here's what the last verse of the book of Esther says about Mordecai. If you will, get Esther 10:3 on the board. And the Bible says, for Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king. Do you got it? 10:3. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren. I love the last two phrases. Seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. I mean, he understood, I've walked with God and look what God has done. God has taken that was against me and used it. Kind of like my fear of public speaking. I promise you, the first times I spoke publicly, even to this day, you could see if there was a visual picture, it'd be like me holding onto the leg of God, like literally holding onto the leg of God. But do you know what happened when you hold onto the leg of God? God wakes you up in the middle of the night and gives you something to say, right? You seek the Lord with all your heart like that, and it was good for me. The fear that I had was so good for me. It says he was seeking the wealth. The word wealth in that text is the good, the overall good in the broadest sense, kind of like you would do for your child. You make sure they're fed, you make sure they're clothed, you make sure they find purpose and training and all that's good in their life. He was looking out for the Jewish people with what God had done for him. It was so good. When it says speaking peace, peace is so good. Never thought I'd do this, but I'm going to quote Barack Obama. Barack Obama said one thing and he was wise about, right? Barack Obama said, war is the most expensive thing a nation can do. And he's not wrong. War is very expensive. War is billions of dollars a month when you play it like America does, right? Not just in the money, but what about the soldiers who've already lost their lives? You know, for those families, when a young man dies, they have no children. When a young man dies, they have no grandchildren. When a young man dies, it's so very expensive. And what's true for a nation is also true for a family. War is very expensive. He told them to live in peace. When there's peace, think about it. When there's peace, then like children can play in the yard. When there's peace, romances can blossom. When there's peace, businesses can thrive. When there's peace, there's so many good things that can happen. And he, in this case, said, the Bible says he was speaking peace and he was seeking the good for all of the people. Who are the people that have done that in your life? Who are the people that have done that in your life? Somebody who follows God is going to be somebody who does that. I pray I've been somebody who did that for you. I only want good for you. I will absolutely encourage you to be at peace with one another. Do you remember the story of Nehemiah? Nehemiah was getting mocked. They were making fun of him for building the wall. He said, build. Nehemiah was getting threatened. You're going to make that wall. We're going to take you down. He said, build. But then some infighting happened amongst the people. Do you remember what he did? He said, stop. Stop. We can't build and be fighting. We can't build and be fighting, right? I'll tell you 1,000 times I've said to people who wanted to fight with me, I don't have time to fight with you. I don't have the resources to fight with you. I'm trying to build something for the kingdom of God. And generally people who tear down are people who don't know how to build, right? Because the people who build know we're building something and it's important and we cannot fight, right? We got to do that. So he's doing that. I think of the people who've done that for me. And I think of Dr. Jack Baskin. Dr. Jack Baskin was the pastor of the church that I grew up in. And I remember he was such a significant guy. He was on the inaugural board of with Ronald Reagan. And he's the guy who, he told that guy, you need to convert to Christ. And he said, if you burn my idols and Buddha doesn't kill you, then I'll convert. And he burned the idols of Buddha. And Buddha couldn't kill him. He lived to be 90. His wife died when he was 83. And he remarried, for crying out loud, right? But he did that, right? And happy, happy, happy. But what a guy he was. And I remember, I've told you guys, I got my life off track late in my teen years. And one day I drove over to his house. And I was trying to get my life back on track. And I remember saying, Dr. Baskin, hey, I need some help. And he was out in his front yard cutting his grass. He's on a riding lawnmower. And I said, Dr. Baskin, would you pray for me? And that great man of God got off that riding lawnmower, got on his knees in his 80s, and he begged God to help me. Can I tell you something? God helped me. Somebody who seeks the wealth, the good. I think of that guy, Mr. Gene Rainwater, I've told you guys about. It's important for where our church is today. He said, even if there's nobody here, I'll preach to the walls. I'm going to bring what God told me to bring. One day, God reached into my life and saved me. I never got to tell him the difference he made in my life. I know a big shot named Travis Johnson, and Travis Johnson is Pentecostal, but he is the head of that Buy a Tree, Change a Life, and he's such a big shot. You see pictures of him with Trump and whatnot. He's got a huge church over in Alabama. When he comes in town, he'll say, Brian, will you meet me? And I'll say, what terminal are we meeting at? Because the only way I can meet him is if I go to the airport and catch him between flights, right? But before we leave each other, he'll always say to me, Brian, we're still in our 40s, right? He said, we still got tread on the tires. Can we go do something for Jesus? Can we go do something for Jesus? And I leave that guy thinking I would charge hell with a water pistol. I'm not kidding you. He makes me just feel like, yeah, we still got a little tread on the tires. Let's go. That's the kind of guy that Mordecai was. Let's be those people. Let's seek only the good for the people in our lives, and let's point them towards the great ways of peace. Go back to chapter number 8. Verse 16 says the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Yay! Somebody walked with God. Isn't it good for a dad to get saved? Isn't it good for a mom to get saved? Isn't it good for somebody to say, I repent? I'm turning away from my sins. I'm doing these things that God has called me. It's been so good for my life, and it'll be good for your family. I love it when one of these kids' families gets right. Savannah's, by the way, Savannah's mom got saved out of drugs. The girl from the children's home, she got saved out of drugs and alcohol and just terrible brokenness, and she's walking with God so much she speaks at some of those Celebrate Recovery events, and it's been so good for their family for somebody to turn around and walk with God. Verse 17 says, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment, that one that said you can fight back, and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a good day. By the way, what is it about God's people and food? Come on now. Why is it like food equates happy, happy, happy? Even in the story of the prodigal son, the boy comes home, kill the fatted calf, right? You know what the fatted calf means? The juicy meat. Go get me the juicy meat, right? Happy, happy, happy. People are walking with God. It's still so beautiful to see. There's food there. Go with me if you will. And by the way, that's repeated over and over again. There's literally 3 verses in this next chapter where they say that in every single one. They had joy and gladness and a feast. Joy and gladness and a feast. I could have lived in Bible days. Verse number 9. Now the Bible says now in the, chapter number 9, verse number 1. Excuse me. Said that wrong. Got it? Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. I love that. I absolutely love that. There's not that many, happily ever afters in the scriptures. This is one of them. God is using what was bad for them, what the world would say was bad for them, and he turned it to good because somebody held on to God. Verse number 2 says, by the way, time to hold on to God, Calvary Baptist Church. Verse number 2 says, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. They're real. They're getting armed. How many of you guys are armed today? I know of two. By the way, if somebody breaks into this church, duck, because you might get hit in the crossfire. There's a few boys here to protect us. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon the people. Verse 3 says, and all the rulers of the provinces and lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Let me preach a point here, and I guess it'll be my last one. We're not going to get done. We have one more week. I'm so sorry. But a huge tool of the enemy we talked about last week. Does anybody remember the three-letter word, tool of the enemy? Anybody remember? Boo! He loves to do that. He loves to scare you away from obeying God. That's the whole thing about, I'm too scared to preach, too scared to tithe, that kind of thing. But one way he does that is he wants you to look at the challenges that come into your life minus God's help, right? A struggle comes into your life. I could lose my job. I could get sick. I could be rejected. The children's home could leave Calvary Baptist Church, right? One of these challenges. And we think, what are we going to do? Without considering what God has said and God's involvement. Do you believe that if you and God are on the same team, that you are the majority no matter what? Why did the Bible teach us, if God be for us, who could be against us? That's a rhetorical question. It's never answered in the Bible because he just assumes you'll know nobody can be against you if God is for you, right? So think about what God has said. God has said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Any hallelujahs right there? Amen. He has not left us nor forsaken us. Woo, woo. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible also says God has said he's a very present help in time of trouble. He's not just here. He's helping. Amen. Yay. Hallelujah. That's so good. The Bible says those who honor me, what? He will honor. You honor him, he will honor. It is totally up to us. Will we be people who humble ourselves and honor him in this season? If we do, he will honor us. And with that in mind, I would say to you, the Bible forbids gossip. Let's be careful. Let's be careful to do that. I want the help of God. I want the help of God so I don't want... I'll be honest with you. I would love to talk about this whole situation, but I can't be dragged into gossip because that would cut me from the strength and the help of God. I don't want to do that, right? I understand there's some challenging things. We want to honor God. The Bible says God works all things for good to them that love the Lord. And I want you to understand, at the very least, some people say that doesn't mean God works everything for good. And I'll give you an example of that in just a second. But at the very least, that means he will bring some good through all things. At the very, very least, that's what it means. He will bring some good. I love that song. It said, I have been blessed. It talks about, I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Do you remember that? And then it says, though I've had my share of hard times, the song actually says, I wouldn't change them if I could, because through it all, God's been good. But C.T. Townsend rewrote that when he sings it, and I like the way he sings it. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side, he's always stood. Not I wouldn't change them if I could. You would change the death of your child if you could, I guarantee you, right? I'd change Sunday morning all day long if I could. You know that to be true, right? That last Sunday morning, I'd change that in a heartbeat. I would do it, but by my side, he's always stood. He's very, very good. So we have to remember that. He sends help. Look back to verse number 3, if you will. When you go back down there, verse 9, verse number 3. It says, and all of the provinces, the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. You think to yourself, hey, we don't know what we'll do, but God is with us. But also God sends help. When Ben Turner, eeny, meeny, miny, him. Anyway, when he started Calvary Children's Home, he couldn't have imagined. If you go by Calvary Children's Home right now, it is all kind of gorgeous. I mean, it is just gorgeous when you go through there. But you know why it's gorgeous? Last Saturday, Calvary Children's Home had 117 volunteers that day. 117 people showed up to put out mulch and paint fences and various different projects at the Children's Home, right? The team and the people that he will send. God will send people. You look through the scriptures. David kills Goliath and Saul starts hating him, but the Bible says God knit together the soul of Jonathan and his, right? And by the end of this passage, we see that there's such a great strengthening that literally Mordecai calls on the people to make a memorial of it. On the very day that when the enemies came to get them and they in turn turned on them and got them instead, Mordecai said, we have to remember this forever. Do you remember when Joshua and the way they were going to remember it forever, by the way, was they were going to celebrate it with food. Amen. Right? Food. In the next year on that day, they're going to remember this is the day that God Almighty worked for us. When they came across the Jordan River, you might recall, God told them, put up those stones. Do you remember that? So they wouldn't forget. Can you forget what God has done? Can you forget when God moves in your life? I submit to you that sometimes people have, right? God has moved and God has worked. And then the days like Sunday morning, this last Sunday morning come, and we just go, where are you, God? And what's going on with this? And we just forget what God has done. We should honor the things that God has said that we should remember. Baptism is one of those, a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised again in newness of life. The Lord's Supper, you know, we should do one of those. It's about time for this church to do communion. It is, right? To remember the body broken for us and the blood that was spilled for us. That's a good thing to remember. You should have a few of those in your life. Some of the greatest Christians I know, they have a rock in their office or they have something in their home where they just have it to remind them that God has moved in our life. And I've done this once before, but I'll finish with this. Years ago, I had a desire to take Belita on a trip, and I wanted to take her out west, and I'll be honest with you, it was so frustrating to me. Brother Don, have you ever really wanted to do something for your wife, but you just couldn't do it? And it was frustrating to me because everybody I knew was about 40 years old, and they all had taken secular jobs, and they were posting on Facebook all of their pictures and all of the things they could do with their family. And I've never made more than $50,000 a year. And back then, I was probably making about $38,000, right? And I remember thinking, I'm going to take Melita out west, and I'm going to show her. And for 10 straight weeks at nighttime, I would just process and try and look and see how. Until I just said, you know what? It's just not going to happen, you know? And I said to Jesus, Jesus, I love you enough. It is what it is, right? You hadn't done me wrong. You've been good to me. I just won't get to do that with my family, and so I won't do it. And that Christmas, I've told you guys before, I went to a party where a woman came up, and she said, I've got a gift for you, and it was an extraordinary trip. And we said to her, we can't take it. And she said, oh, yes, you can, because God told me. You know why I cry? Because God saw me. God saw me struggling, you know, just wanted to do something. God saw me. Well, anyway, I went on that trip and had the best time ever, had a great room on a cruise trip. One of my favorite things to do is to have her anywhere by myself. If I can get away from my kids and she's all mine, oh, I love it, right? Anyway, we're on that trip. It was like from heaven. It was just one of those incredible experiences. And Melita was out on the deck one day of that boat, and she took a picture of the Alaskan shoreline, and she was like, look at this picture. And it looked like something out of a fairy tale. I brought the picture tonight. And it was just a picture of the sun and the moon. I want you to look at it here. And anyway, when we got back from the trip, my prayer partner's wife came up to me and said, hey, was there any picture you took on that trip that I could commemorate for you? She knew the story of how God had moved, and she literally painted that picture. And I want you to know, I'll leave it up here for you guys to see, that it took her 200 hours, and it is an exact replica. It took her 200 hours to paint this. Do you know where this picture is in my house? There's the front door. It hangs right there. And right below it, there's that Bible verse that was on my grandma's refrigerator. He is at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Maybe this church needs a few memorials, right? A few places where we say, there, God moved right there. God moved right there. Let's get a pastor and let's make one, okay? Would you do that for us? Brother Celon wanted to take a minute. I went to 803, so you don't mind. Love you to the moon and back. Hope you forgive me for crying so much. Love you to the moon and back. So grateful you're in my life. I cherish you. Can you give